Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Hare both. Thank Mahamuni for being resourceful and quickly calling me. I got the times confused. In fact, what I was doing is I was just beginning to prepare my class for what I thought was tomorrow morning. By the mercy of Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, I'm able to speak some Hare Katha today. Let's see what I can do. There'll also be people coming here for the class. Today is the first day of Kartik also. Okay, let me just begin. Then I tried to get back on, and I have a new phone and couldn't figure out how to get the battery recharged, but here we go. Reading from the Bhagavatamrita. One second. Please excuse me for being late. I pride myself, but my nature is to be punctual. Reading from the Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, text 28. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Idanim Paramam Kashtam Sapta Bhutsavrtas Bhuta Vishishta Mahimasveni Madhuri Chitra. Now his identity has been shown, reappeared in all his splendor, adorned with unique glories and the varied wonders of his charming sweetness. Actually, we can start with the next verse. We speak of Krishna's kindness, but even the punishments he metes out or worthy of praise. To this there have been many witnesses, including Kamsa, Kaliya, Putna, and the more distant past, Bali and others. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnanandana Salakaya Tatsurumavitam Yena Asmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Sapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Siddhati Sapadantikam. Paragiyad Bhakti Visham Payatnai Apayam Amara Vipsamandam Kripam Bhuya Paraduka Duki Sanatana Sampabhumatriyami Vansha Kalpa Tarugyascha Kripa Sindhu Vaidacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Vidadhar Sri Bhakti Devor Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My friends, greetings from Vrindavan. Today is the first day here. I guess maybe it'll start tomorrow morning for you, Kartik. Usually I'm in Govardhan, but several groups of people are coming to experience the Dham. Some of you know Raghunath. He was just here with 18 people from New York. And it's so nice to see people appreciate the Dham. One couple I know that lived near me upstate, just seeing them leave the Dham in utter tears, that it was too short. It was too short. Anyway, it was really nice. And as soon as they left, I'm waiting for this other group to come, but another group came that I know from Moscow, super, super nice people. And this morning, I was up early for Kharki chanting, and Super Soul told me just to check, you know, just open my door and look out of the porch. And there was this nice devotee waiting and asked if I can take their group someplace. Very qualified people, spiritually, really nice. It's been very, very hot here, like really hot. I enjoy the weather, but just it's almost like being in a steam room. You know, this sauna, the sweat is just pouring and pouring. And when I go around Perkon the other day with these people from New York, it was part of it. And today, somehow it rained. The first day of Kharki, it rained. The weather is ideal. And it was overcast. And I went to Prem Kishore, a friend of mine, who's lived a quite a wonderful life, lived some time as a monk, raised three children. Very healthy, wanted to live his life with an environment that as congruent as possible with his spiritual objectives as possible. And it's amazing. It only takes you about 7-8 minutes to walk there, but you're in paradise and lush, lush green grasses, all the trees and fruits and flowers of Vrindavan, and beautiful, beautiful cows. And when we came there, he was just like Mother Yasoda would be, with a wood thing and some kind of pulley ropes, churning the milk into butter. A nice way for these people to enter the Dham. And then just from one day's milk, there was enough buttermilk for so many people. And then we were able to sit out in the cow pasture, and I was to speak of the Kaliya pastime. So it's quite wonderful here in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Despite what the government is doing to this place, that's another thing, but anyway, I don't want to describe that now, traffic jams, I didn't go to that direction, okay. So let's get into this pastime that I have not fully prepared for, but I think I remember. Let's see. Let me just look at the first few verses and take me a second. Yes, it's Narada on the request of Sri Prahlad seeing Yudhisthira, and now Narada is glorifying the Pandavas by glorifying Krishna, because Narada is looking for the topmost devotee, and the topmost devotee has the most intimate love, and Krishna is the supreme absolute reality, fully manifest to intimate love. in a close way, not distant, not intimate love, spontaneous love, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti. The topmost love is Kevala Bhakti. It's only love. There's nothing else mixed in that's apparently external to love, or as mentioned in the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that makes love feeble or weak, an obligation or duty, a fear, because the object of your love is so much greater than you in position. But the beauty of Krishna is that when you have this type of intimate love, God does not appear in His majesty so that He can come close to you and fully manifest Himself in all His splendor and beauty, as mentioned. Now His identity has been shown, for He appeared in all His splendor, adorned with the unique qualities and the varied wonders of His charming sweetness. Prema Madhurya, Venu Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Leela Madhurya. The sweetness of the inner heart of the Absolute Reality, who, revealing Himself fully, is revealing His beauty fully. Just as, simple example, but you can't use it enough times, just as the High Court judge, when he comes home and takes off the robes of the court, he can manifest his full beauty, his full splendor, his full sweetness, which is as a loving person. So Krishna means when God is manifesting Himself fully as a loving person, and therefore revealing His heart fully, He is Rupa Madhurya, the sweetness of beauty is unparalleled in any other incarnation of God. He is Prema Madhurya, and the varieties of sweetness of love in various relationships is unparalleled in Sri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, the full manifestation of God. And Leela Madhurya, the varieties of activities, because of the varieties of loving relationships, is unparalleled. And Venu Madhurya, the heart is expressed openly through the flute of Krishna. So when that prema Madhurya, Leela Madhurya, when Swayam Bhagavan manifests fully in that splendor and beauty, those who can evoke that infinite and supreme side of the Absolute Reality, they are the topmost devotees. And because Narada is meeting one for the first time in his journey, he is glorifying Krishna in his enthusiasm, and thus glorifying the Pandavas. And he's glorifying the beauty of Krishna by the simple explanation in other avatars where that splendor is checked to satisfy the relationship of reverence and servitude. The liberating power of the association with God is also checked, because God's liberating power is His allurement to absorb the mind, and that depends on the manifestation of God's beauty. And therefore, there is this progression in Vaikuntha, even prema, this type of full love is rarely given except for Prahlad, is liberation. And even Prahlad, the love was mixed with jnana or understanding of God's position, and therefore checked to some degree in that relationship. But with Krishna, so many people are liberated, and even the demons are liberated. Even the demons are liberated. So that's what's being described now. That not only beauty, but kindness, because when Krishna metes out punishment, which means somehow or other to punish someone, you are giving them your personal attention and association. Well, in the person of Krishna, that results in a wonderful result that is worthy of praise. And now in the purport, which I am having problems seeing, because I have this new phone, which is Deuce phone, and it has to be plugged in right now for me to get the class, and it's not so near the light. But look, so what's eliciting this purport is what it's like to get Krishna's association even as a demon. The level of mercy and the level of absorption it invokes. Today, one of the demons he kills is the Kaliya serpent. So maybe I can tell something about that, and that would be some contribution I can make today. But it's such a beautiful concept of the Supreme Absolute. It was nice. We're sitting in this cow pasture among the cows, very thick grass, which is very rare to see in Vrindavan now. And I was trying to explain that you see in this world that people act for pleasure, that pleasure is the happiness found in loving relationships and the variety of loving relationships that one has, and that the reasonability of Krishna's lila is that type of happiness is manifest in the Supreme, in these wonderful lila or pastimes, which externally have all types of activities, but when you understand them with just a little devotion and understanding, you can see that the pastimes of Krishna mean activities that bring love and happiness to the highest degree. And in fact, there's a great science of this called Rasa. Rasa Shastra, a great science of how affection is brought to the highest degree by a variety of emotional experiences appropriate in a particular relationship. And as Rupa Goswami revealed, that's what Krishna Lila means. So I was describing this Kaliya pastime, and it's very interesting. And I asked people to imagine a particular relationship with Krishna, which is either the mother of Krishna or the father of Krishna or the lover of Krishna or the friend of Krishna, and try to imagine what would happen individually to their relationship with Krishna, their level and intensity of love, if they were in this particular lila. And I gave different scenes from this lila. Imagine if you were Krishna's friend. So what happens is, after swallowing the forest fire, after swallowing the forest fire, Krishna and his friends run ahead to go to the Jamuna. But in the desire for water, they go to the bank of the Jamuna, but it's so poisonous that even the vapors are killing everything in proximity. So the cowherd boys, they apparently die on the bank of the river. And then Krishna comes and sees his friends and glances at them with affection of deep friendship. You can think of someone who's your friend, who you love to such a degree, a real close friend. So it's so beautiful because the friends wake up, and each friend, he wakes up. So imagine waking up after near death, and that the glance of your friend saved you from the jaws of death. And as you, in a startled way, wake up and look at the beautiful, loving face of your friend Krishna. Come on in. Come on in. Very good. Okay, let me explain here to my guests. It's so nice in Vrindavan. You know, I'm just sitting in my room. All these very nice people come to visit to every evening at 7 o'clock to hear Hari Katha. We can discuss. We're singing bhajans and discussing the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I miscalculated the time of my class by 12 hours. But fortunately, someone had the sense to call me and shock me. I'm talking to the audience here. Shock me that, hey, you know, it's class today. Then, in the affection I have for the people there, and I panicked. And I had this new phone, and I turned it on, and it said, battery is off, and I couldn't plug it in to get the electricity. I was panicking. This is all rata. You can imagine my desires. And I'm plugging it in, and it just, and I turn it on, it goes on, and it goes, a little box, battery is off. I run to my old phone, see if I can plug it into my new phone, because I think the charger is broke. The rasa is continuing. My desire for the throne and all kinds of... I faint on the floor. I wake up, run to my phone, and then realize that in my infinite mechanical abilities, I plug the charger into the earphone instead of the battery. But with renewed hope, I plug it in. But then as the battery is going, it says, power is off, power is off. Praying intensely to Krishna, finally the screen goes on. And here I am. So now you can know the scene. But it's so beautiful, so that you're waking up to Krishna's loving glance. How much pleasure of friendship is that for the devotees? So nice. People bring flowers and pussies to the deity. I'm talking to people that are too. We had such a trip on thing. I went to the MP Shores. It was so nice. He was churning the butter with the milk and the butter. So much exercise in, like, you know, those things where you pull ropes on either side. And when I tasted that butter, though, everyone tasted butter, but it's like I feel like I've never eaten before. You know, eat things that are real, they're trucked, stored, whatever it is. I had to taste something that's real, fresh, and it's just so delicious. And Anyway, the glance and just waking up, and not only waking up in that mood of friendship, but sharing that experience with your other friends. All the friends are sharing their love for Krishna together, feeling that oneness of experience, sometimes in drama called catharsis. Catharsis, this oneness of experience. My friend, my friend. Then Krishna, he looks at the Jamuna, and he sees that it's bubbling with very thick kashaya, it says. It's like the most ugly color, kind of greenish-gray. When you go to a bad Indian feast and they cook a potato sabji in a black pot and put in a combination of spices, including dirty bay leaves, and turn that sabji green. It doesn't happen here in the temple here because the kitchens are so, really so clean and well done. But anyway, it's boiling when Krishna looks, and he's furious. Why? Because Krishna loves his place. There's love of place when place facilitates love. Someone write that down for my famous quotes. And now I got so proud I forgot what it is. Okay, sorry. There's love of place when place facilitates love. If you're in your living room and you've had joyous times with friends and family, and that living room has facilitated that, you love the living room. If you just do an ugly divorce, you hate that place. If it facilitated in love, and therefore you generally like that better than the office, even if you're the high court judge, because the love is restricted by the organization of the court. So the greater the love is facilitated, the higher the place. And therefore, Radha Kund is considered the highest place, just from a standpoint that it's noon, that the pastimes are at noon and everybody is sleeping in India, and they can exchange freely without disturbance externally. And it's so secluded, so they can open their hearts in the most intimate conjugal love. That's Radha Kund, which they cleaned out. And so Krishna loves the place, and he hates when the environment is polluted. Therefore, I am so angry now what these demon rascals are doing to Vrindavan. It broke open the road, supposedly, to put in a new sewer, and there's like huge traffic jams. And in the life of me, I can't figure out how anyone could drive a car to Vrindavan on the most crowded day of the year, knowing what's going to happen to you. But I don't go that way. I just walk out the back of my place, go the back road, walk into the old beautiful forest of Vrindavan, cut across the 10-acre land of Goshala, and the gate is open, and just cross the road for a minute, walk 10, 15 meters, and I'm in the paradise of Frankie Shore and Giddhari's. And you see how this person lives in secluded, this man and his wife. There's two families that live there. It's just wonderful. It's just wonderful. So imagine now Krishna jumps in the water, then he's engulfed and wrapped in the serpent. Now imagine your relationship with Krishna. Either your friend, your lover, your parent, the mother, the father. And imagine what happens when you see evil omens. When you love Krishna, because Mother Yasoda is a good mother, she lets Krishna out to the forest to tend the cows and to grow naturally. She doesn't suffocate him. Although they try to, actually. When Krishna leaves for the forest every day, what can be more beautiful getting on the Long Island Railroad or the D train, going through the Holland Tunnel, the New Jersey Turnpike, going out to the forest, the cows. Just like I see the way my friend lives. He wanted, because he wanted to show what the real Vrindavan is and still keep it open where people can experience it. He's been living there for 3 years. And this person, you know, he's not, you know, materially incompetent. He's quite successful in everything he's done. But he lives, wakes up, beautiful, beautiful atmosphere, you know, cooks the cows, churns the butter, takes care of the land, stays outside, chants, reads, loves the cows, and has this faith in the cows beyond a material formula that if you take care of the cows, everything will be auspicious. And the cows are perfect yogis. They are so peaceful. This cow, Jamuna, it's like almost like an elephant. It's so big. And it's so peaceful. You scratch it, my neck. And, you know, he described that sometimes they, I don't know, he was describing all the things in the cows in India, something that they can build a hospital on but the cows are on the bottom floor, like a farm in the hospital, and that it cures tuberculosis if you breathe their air or something, or, and the peacefulness of being with cows in that atmosphere when it's so love, it affects the mind. It really does. You can see the effect of environment on the Krishna loves the environment. Anyway, so they're in the village and they see the evil omens. The meteors in the sky, the ground trump, and they start worrying about Krishna. And then they begin to search madly for Krishna, knowing that he may be in danger. And how do they search? They're looking for his footprints, which are never covered. So they're like yogis. This is the discrimination. Maybe not this, not this, not this. So I divided the group up into four, and I asked them to imagine your feeling. You know, the gopis was my lover, friends, my friend. Therefore, to practice bhakti, you have to have love in this world, to have a frame of reference. That was told to me by one of Prabhupada's godbrothers. When I went to visit him at Sivakum, he had a temple, and he was kind of, I don't know what you'd call it, but he's very old, and he would just speak whatever he wanted spontaneously, emotionally. He's in danger. So he looked at us, and I don't know what he was thinking. He said, and it's right overlooking Sivakum. He said, so you want to understand Raghunatha Bhakti. He's actually like yelling at us or something, but it's just charming. But you don't even understand in the West a mother's love for their child. As he heard that, it was actually people get abortion. And then he looked out the window, and there was a monkey, and it was a banana peel or something, and the big monkey kicked away the little monkey. He took the banana peel and he said, that's the love for the mother. In the West, they still have people get abortion. And he's like, really? And then he said, I remember a man, he was in his 80s, and he had a 100-year-old mother. And the man had children and great-grandchildren, like 15 great-grandchildren, so many children. The man was a millionaire with so many factories. And then the son began to cry and he said,
hand of his 100-year-old mother.
He was such a big man. He said, "That's the love of a mother for their child."
And he was, without understanding that love, how will you understand the love of Mother Yasoda?
Imagine the mother, and you know, you may have affection for your child, but there's nothing more beautiful than Krishna. Krishna is your child. How beautiful and how much love. On the highest platform of the soul, and when Krishna's in trouble, what that does emotionally to the sentiment of love. So if you can turn, you can see that this absolute reality is like an ocean, which is God, and we're the waves. And the waves are love. And it's constantly churning, giving this intense experience of love. That's what reality is. In Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, when you become pure, you see God. Because that's all that exists. And when you see God, you feel God because you have a relationship with God. When you see God, you feel God. Because you have a relationship with God. Prema. Love, the attraction. You feel in a loving relationship. And we have that with God. When we see God, we feel it. And it's not a static mood. It's something that churns. And that's what this Leela and pastime is. It's churning that love. And Krishna is drinking that love. And the devotees are drinking that love. Reality is this rasa. Mayachitad apatriyam. It's God. Pashya purusham purna. Mayachitad apatriyam. It's God. And it's God and his devotees. And the churning of rasa and relation. That's the ultimate reality. It's reasonable. Can't prove it, Mahamuni. But it's reasonable. Reasonable. I'm sure Mahamuni's writing a question right now for me. We have fun. Wow. So imagine the love that's felt in reality when it's churned and someone's looking for their friend, Krishna, my friend, and at the same time the lovers are looking, my lover, and it's so intense, and then they go to the bank of the Jamuna and Krishna's there in the coils of the serpent. He's wrapped in the coils of the serpent. And what they feel when they see that. And when Mother Yasoda tries to go in the water and she faints, what happens to her love? What the gopis are feeling when they're remembering his loving dealings, his smiling, his smile, his beautiful face. What are they feeling? Sunyam. Tapadukam. They feel the world is vacant. Krishna is their life. Without Krishna, there's no life. And how do they feel when Krishna breaks from the coils of the serpent and very dexterously, anyway, I'm not going to try that word anymore. I don't want to butcher the language any more than I have. But Krishna dancing on the serpent after dodging his 100-hooded poisonous attack and dancing on that serpent's hood. So with that serpent's hood is not only is it not flat, but it's kind of like moving in anger, and Krishna's dancing. I will now translate the scene into my own experience. The crowd went wild. Jai Krishna. Jai Sri Krishna. Jai Sri Krishna. The crowd goes wild. See, it's good to have an audience now because I could see the reaction. They're smiling and enjoying. The crowd went wild. And then after Krishna crushes the serpent, which represents, the hoods represent the false ego. What's the false ego? I am the controller. I am the enjoyer, therefore I am the controller. And you don't want to give it up. And therefore, no matter how much you're not, which means your attempt to do so is always frustrated because, you know, I'm the controller, you know, and then you're a great sports star and you don't want to retire. But, you know, it doesn't move the way it moved before. Whatever else you do, and you're still trying, you don't give up. Reminds me when I grew up in Brooklyn, if someone got beat up, they would say, you know, when people, kids would have fights, you know, they would never admit they were defeated. They said, you know, someone breaks up, you know, he got pummeled. He said, yeah, you know, another couple of minutes, I would have had him. Or they would say, you know, I would have gotten him, but I had my school clothes on, you know, whatever it is. The ego, I'm never wrong. An argument, wow, here's a people, I'm never wrong. So we're always rising the hoods of false ego. And our life is that it's crushed. It's not cruelly crushed, it's just that we're not what we want to be. There is a God who is the totality of consciousness, of reality, who moves for the pleasure of everyone. So when we want to just move for our pleasure, that's not our position. So our frustration is that we are not that reality. We're another reality. We're the part reality, not the whole reality. We're the part reality, not the whole reality. Therefore, we're frustrated. We just have to shift consciousness. We have to become what we are. We have to become the part. We have to become the servant. And we have to move along with God's divine will. I read a beautiful comment. I can't remember where it is. It says, you have to change your vision of the world to see the world as an object, to see the world not as an object of enjoyment, but an object of instruction. Just a shift. See the world as an object, because that's what it is here for us. The world is an object of instruction. The world is an object of instruction, not an object of obstruction. If you're the enjoyer, the world is an object of obstruction. If you're the servant, the world is an object of instruction. So, the hoods are crushed. And then what happens? Then you can remember. Smitra, they remember, I remember what my wife told me, that Krishna was God, he was beautiful, and he was supreme. They remember. You can't remember as long as the hoods are up. You're not tattva darshan. You're not seeing the truth as long as the hoods of false ego, the struggle to be the center, the controller. As long as you're in that position, you are not in the locus standi or something that it's called. But you're not in the position to see God. You can't see things from the wrong perspective. You want to see reality, you have to step out of the center and put yourself as the servant, the object of the Supreme's desire. That's what Guru should be. Tattva Darshana, one who is a servant, he sees the truth. If he realizes the truth, he can explain the truth.
Nah.
So, Smitha, they remember. And then the last scene is so beautiful. The serpent is defeated. The serpent surrenders. Everyone's feeling relieved, and they're watching. Now, what is your sentiment now? Because you're each supposed to be either a friend, a lover, a mother, or a father. What is your sentiment after all this, as you see Krishna swimming to the shore? And then when he gets out of the water, how beautiful. It's described that the most beautiful body was made more beautiful by a thin wet cloth. So Krishna comes out of the water with a thin wet cloth, and everyone is, so this is reality. Externally, it may correspond to what we think is mythology. It may filter through our experience like that. But at least from our intelligence and perhaps our feelings, we can understand that there's something very real here, which is a relationship that exists, a divine relationship that exists eternally. Where God is exchanging with his energies. And that's what's really happened. So, here it described in this purport how beautiful it is to be killed by Krishna. With the Chanura and Mystika, the wrestlers in the arena, they're embracing Krishna just like the cowherd boys. And it's described as beautiful it is to be killed by Krishna, it's more beneficial when the demons enter into Gokul and kill Krishna, because that's even a more intimate manifestation. Putana. Krishna sucks her breast. Kaliya. The dust of Krishna's lotus feet smeared on the head. And the result is a liberation from that divine association. So this is the ecstasy of Narada Muni describing the beauty of Krishna. Vrindavan, I haven't been in Vrindavan during Kartika, I stay in Govardhan, but it's been a beautiful experience. It's a bit more of a community, you see a few more people, but that's nice, and people come in enthusiastically to worship Krishna, and no matter what they're doing the rest of the year or the rest of their lives, to become absorbed. It's like a community of people who are absorbed in Krishna. People here are just absorbed. The devotees are just absorbed. And sometimes I go to the temple, but I find it futile. Generally, I never even get to take darshan of the deities, because I just know so many people and there's so many sweet relationships. I just can't. Boy, Shakyamuni doesn't even try. He just left her talking. And he went to Puri. So that he could finally have a nice party. I've been doing this for many years, so I generally have to teach during that time. So he couldn't hide. So I could tolerate it, but wonderful what Prabhupada's done. You know, he's really, really understood how to give spiritual life to people, really. You can see that when people come. It works. And, really dynamic. I did try to see the beauties today. I met a goddaughter named Javi. Wonderful goddaughter. He's actually a famous singer. Incredibly talented person. And I was going to that farm. I said, "You want to come out these 10 minutes? I have a shortcut." He said, "Sure. But I'll bring my son." And he brought his son. And the boy was like a demigod. 18 years old, so serious in spiritual life. I mean, really wonderful. So really nice, beautiful young man, and very respectful. Going to spend time with his father. He has maybe 7 or 8 children, maybe even more. He's going to spend time with his father. His father bought a place in Bogotan. So that's a nice relationship. So let's go spend a month in Bogotan together. Let's bond. So I took him out there and we sat and we went to this chanting. That's nice. Anyway. Okay. Anybody like to ask any questions? Someone please tell me they're there.
Marsh.
I wasn't just speaking to the...
Marsh.
Hare Krishna?
Hare Bol, Marsh. I don't know if you can hear... Your phone's been a little choppy for the second half of the class. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, really? It's hard to hear?
It's kind of like, it's like pulses when you speak. It kind of like fluctuates. It's kind of hard to explain. It's like modulated or something.
Yeah, well, you know, they got me this new phone, and I bought this old phone, and I could actually see that there was some problem. Were you able to strain and make it out?
Yeah, I'm just asking you if you can hear me, and like in the
It was really hard, though.
Yeah,
it wasn't easy, but it's probably a one-time. I was just asking you, because I didn't know if you can hear me in the other direction now. Can you hear me okay, Marsh?
I can hear you. I had giving class, but I'm a little disappointed that... Did you take it?
It's...
The last part.
It's Marsh. Actually, it's getting harder and harder, so maybe it's not worth getting into a long discussion now, because somehow or other it's kind
of
getting...
perfectly well.
But I'm saying I can't, like, I hear more or less maybe 3 out of every 5 syllables coming from you.
Yeah, it's really hard now.
Yeah, and now you're fading also.
Yeah, so maybe I can hold off. They're not urgent or anything. Sorry?
Cut off the fan for a second. Well, let me shut off the fan to see if that helps.
Well, he's switching off the fan.
Yeah, I know.
Is that better?
No. I'm sorry, Marsh?
No, it's
Is that
not.
Better?
No, it's not better, Marsh.
Well, I'm a little bit upset now because, you know, the first thing, well, I didn't pay yet. I'm not going to pay. You know, it's just, you know, I mean, that thing is fun. It's supposedly better. Yeah, but it's used. It really, the reception I had on my other one was just so much better. So I'm
just so you know, at this point, Marsh, it's very hard to make out what you're saying. I more or less heard the gist of what you just said, but it may not be worth going speaking much longer because it's very hard to understand.
I can hear you very clearly, but you can't hear me, right?
Yeah, well, I just made out what you said, but in a longer sentence or dialogue, I think it's not very easy.
Okay. Okay. So we'll forget it today, okay?
Yeah. Well, thank you, Marsh.
Okay. Okay.